Well, this evening marks the 11th anniversary of my pastorate here at Calvary South Austin. And as I look back over the past 10 years, I just think, wow, time flies when you're having fun. But as always, I like to spend this anniversary evening presenting you with the vision of this church. It's a yearly reminder to help you to know the vision that the Lord has given me. But before we dig into the details of our church's vision, I want to take a minute to talk about the importance of focus. You see, there are some people who have the physical sense of sight, and yet they struggle to focus on the objects they're looking at. When tested, the test says 20/20, and yet it's still a struggle for them to focus to get the clearest definition of what they're looking at. This ocular condition, it's known as accommodative dysfunction, and it keeps people with normal vision from focusing their eyes on the objects that are before them. As a result, they really have to focus in order to focus their sense of sight. They have to work hard and sometimes even straining to get their eyes to focus on what they're looking at. And while some people have a difficult time with their vision because they struggle with this accommodative dysfunction, there are many others who simply struggle to focus their faculty of sight because, well, they just allow their eyes to become distracted with things that they probably shouldn't be looking at. A perfect example of what I'm talking about can be seen in all the YouTube videos that show people attempting and failing to text and walk. Lots of great videos. Don't look it up right now on your iPhones. You can do that after service. But there's one video where a person actually falls off a 60-foot cliff in Anchorage, Alaska, simply because they were texting and walking. There's the student, a Texas student, who drove off a bridge because she was texting while driving. And according to one recent report, listen, one out of every four auto accidents in the United States today, well, it's caused by those who were texting while they were driving. One in four. It's an amazing thing. From this, you can see here that a person can have perfect vision and yet still fail to focus on what they ought to be looking at. In a similar yet spiritual way, I can show you the vision that God has given to me for this church. I can help you to see that vision clearly. And yet there will be those who will fail to focus their attention on accomplishing this vision because they've become too distracted. And just to be clear, the word vision in this sense, well, it refers to the spiritual outlook that God gives to those leaders whom he's raised up in order to lead his church into his will. And while it's my desire to share the vision that God has given me for this fellowship, it's also important for us to make sure that we're actually focusing our spiritual eyes on accomplishing this vision. Well, with this as our goal, I want to take a moment to remind you of our mission statement, which can be found online. You see, it's our mission statement. This becomes the basis for defining the vision of this church. And while our mission statement is defined by three discipleship directives, which would lead us to, number one, reach up, number two, reach in, and number three, reach out, well, it'll help us to know that the vision of the church helps us to see how we go about accomplishing this mission to reach up, reach in, and reach out. And so with this as our focus, I'd like to begin by opening our Bibles to John chapter 17. As you make your way to John 17, I want to remind you that the first part of our mission, it's to reach up. Or in other words, Calvary South Austin ought to be a church filled with believers who are making our relationship with God priority number one. By putting reach up as the first part of our mission statement, what I'm saying is that our relationship with God has to be the most important thing in our lives. And with this as our goal, I should point out that our mission to reach up, it's fulfilled when we focus our attention on seeking the Lord Jesus in three ways. We need to seek the Lord Jesus through prayer, through praise, and through Bible study. Now, in order to grasp the value of this first point, I want to consider something that Jesus said here in John chapter 17. If you would look with me there at verse 3. There Jesus declares, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Now here in this verse, we find the Lord Jesus helping his audience to understand that the primary purpose of our lives is to know, to have a relationship with the only true God through his only begotten Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. This should be our primary purpose in life, to know God and to have a relationship with God. And while we can tend to think of eternal life as being just a whole lot of time that we're going to spend with God eventually in the future, the reality is this. The Lord Jesus wants us to enjoy eternal life today. Today we can experience eternal life. Because according to Jesus, this is eternal life, that we may know the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Therefore, this first part of our mission statement, it's designed to help us to enjoy eternal life today and forevermore. And to do this by simply spending our time reaching up to God. And listen, we do this through prayer, through praise, and through Bible study. That being the case, I want to take a moment to talk about some of the opportunities that we have here at Calvary South Austin to reach up together through corporate prayer. Some of you know this, some of you might not know this, but we have small groups that meet together throughout the week. Eve 31 Women's Ministry meets together, and they spend time praying together, and we also have men's groups. They're called MPGs, or Men's Prayer Groups. And at these men's prayer groups, guys are getting together every other week to pray for one another and to encourage one another in that way. And so if you're not plugged into these small group ministries where Christians are praying together, I encourage you. You ought to be spending time reaching up to the Lord in these small group ministries. Also, the Christians who get together and serve in any of the ministries here in our church, well, they're going to spend time praying together, praying over the ministries, praying for one another. When we serve together, we end up praying together, much like when I meet with the lead deacons. We spend some time in prayer, praying for this church, praying for the people in this church, praying for the future of this church. How about Wednesday nights? You might not know this, but every Wednesday night after the service, there's leaders here at this stage waiting to pray with those who need prayer. Not only that, but in our remodeled afterglow, what happens after the Bible study is that Christians are hanging out and praying for one another. And so Wednesday nights after the Bible study, that's what we're doing. We're spending time praying for one another and encouraging one another. And then with our communion services that we have once a month. Some of those communion services, I'll have an extended time, an afterglow time, where we actually pray together corporately. And so we see then there are many opportunities here at Calvary South Austin to pray together. And we ought to. We ought to spend time reaching up together by praying together. We also reach up together as we praise the Lord. And we do this corporately every Sunday and every Wednesday. We just got through with our worship service. We had the praise team come up and lead us in song. And as we sang those songs, hopefully our hearts were aimed at praising the Lord. Now, there's different ways to go about putting together praise music. And I totally acknowledge the fact that there are many churches who make a big production out of their praise. Certainly, I know some churches here in town where everybody's like, "Oh man, the praise over there is awesome." Well, what they mean is that the music is awesome, and hopefully people are praising the Lord there too. But here at our church, we keep it more low-key. We don't want our praise team to become performers who are putting on a concert, but we want them to be worship leaders who are leading us into the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of hype, we want our praise and worship to be heartfelt as we reach up to the Lord together, singing his praise. Now, it's sad to say that there are some Christians who treat this time of praise before the Bible study as something that's less than important than the Bible study. As long as we can make it to church on time for the Bible study, then we've done our good thing. But listen, I'm here to tell you that the praise time before the Bible study is just as important as the Bible study itself. And I get it, you know, sometimes you just can't make it on time, but I would encourage every Christian here to be here on time to praise the Lord together. I want to remind you what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 100 when he declared this. He said, "We enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." We enter into the courts of the Lord Jesus by praising him. And so that 30-minute window of praise before the Bible study, it's not just here for entertainment. It's not just here as, well, if we can make it, then good. If not, then oh well. No, it's designed to help you to enter into the courts of God in preparation for what we're about to hear as we, you know, spend our time studying the Word. We have a time of praise before the Bible study because it helps us to draw near to our gracious God. And remember, James tells us that God draws near to those who draw near to him. Therefore, whatever would keep us from being here on time for our corporate praise, chances are, it's nothing more than a distraction. And while we ought to be reaching up together through prayer and praise, well, we also ought to reach up together through the study of God's word. Remember, it's back in John 17, verse 3, Jesus said this. He said, "This is eternal life, that they may know about you." No, that's not what it says at all. "This is eternal life, that they may know you." If you want to know God, then you must know his word. Because the word of God is the written revelation of the character of God. If you want to know God, then you have to know him through his own revelation of himself. Therefore, being that we know God through his word, God has given me this vision to teach through the entire Bible, line by line and verse by verse. Now, there are many popular programs that other churches might teach through. You know, you see, you know, different programs blowing through town, Explore God, and all these different things that rise up where all the churches are doing this certain program. And that might be great for them, but here at our church, we've got our program. We've always got our program. The program is to go through the Bible, line by line and verse by verse. The Lord has called me to simply teach through the Bible, simply, so that as we get to know him through his word and through the whole counsel of his word, we're reaching up and we're seeking him in that way. Now, as we consider the opportunities that we have to reach up through prayer and praise and through the study of God's word, I would take a moment to ask each person here, are you focused on fulfilling this vision? Or are you allowing less important things to distract you from accomplishing our mission to reach up? And if you find that you've become distracted, then I would refocus your attention on our vision by encouraging you to spend time here at our church, praying together with our small group ministries, praying together in the ministries that are serving together, praying for one another here on Wednesday nights after the Bible study. We should be here on time for our praise services so that we can corporately praise God together. And we ought to be studying God's word together. We ought to be invested in being here on Sundays and Wednesdays so that we can simply study God's word together. And listen, not only has the Lord called us to reach up through prayer and praise and Bible study, but the Lord is also calling us to reach in by encouraging one another and by serving one another. And with this as our focus, if you would turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 4, where we find the Apostle Paul. He's directing every disciple to this very end. And as you make your way to Ephesians 4, I want to take a moment to point out that born-again believers have become bondservants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that sink in for a second. Those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ have been born again. And if you've been born again, then you've become a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are his servant. And as servants, we've been called to serve. We haven't been called to sit on the sidelines. We haven't been called to let everybody else around us serve while we sit around and do nothing. No, we've been called as the bond servants of Jesus Christ to serve. We've been called to serve our Savior by serving one another here within our fellowship of faith. And according to Paul, every believer has been called to fulfill a specific role here within our church. And with this as our focus, I'd like you to turn your attention now to what Paul wrote here in Ephesians chapter 4. If you would look with me, we'll begin reading at verse 11. Here Paul declared, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Now, here in these verses, we find Paul just giving us an earful, and he's helping the Christians there at the church in Ephesus to understand that every Christian has been called to do their part so that the church as a whole can become a healthy body of believers. That's what we are here at Calvary South Austin. We are a body of believers, and everyone here has been called to play a specific role. We're all a certain part of the body. Now, if you have a part of your body that's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, then there's a problem. There's a problem when someone within the body or a member of our own body isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing. Now, there are many dedicated servants here at this fellowship that we call Calvary South Austin, many dedicated servants who are doing their part. And it's sad to say that there are many doing more than their share. And the reason why is because they're attempting to compensate for those who aren't serving at all. There's many Christians who are doing more than they ought to be doing in order to compensate for those who are doing nothing. And with that being the case, I would refocus our attention on the importance of our mission, which is to reach in here at this church. Think about it like this. The Christian who is truly reaching up and seeking a relationship with our Savior is going to be led by the Lord to reach back into their fellowship of faith so that we might spend time serving one another. Are you really reaching up? Are you really praying and praising and studying God's word? Because if you are, then I know the Lord is leading you to reach back in and serve one another here at this church. Why do I know that? Because that's what his word says. And I believe his word. That being the case, it's my job now to equip you as the pastor and teacher of this church. It's my job to equip you for the work of ministry. And what that means also then, it's your job to accomplish the work of the ministry. You see, if it's my job to equip you to do the work, then it's your job to get equipped and do the work. In this way, the body of Christ here at Calvary South Austin can be built up and edified in the love of God. You see, when every member of this spiritual body does its share, the entire body becomes more effective. Kind of like our own bodies. When all of the parts of our bodies are functioning in the way that they should, we become more effective in everything that we do. But you know, you break one finger, next thing you know, everything is more difficult. You ever tried to put on your socks with a broken finger? It's hard. Something as simple as putting on a sock in the morning, and all of a sudden it's a nightmare because you've got a broken finger. If one little part of the body is not functioning properly, it affects the entire body. And that's true of our church. If God has called you to this church, then I want to encourage you to plug in. If God's called you to another church, then you ought to be over there. You ought to plug in 100% over at that church, wherever that church is. And I'm not trying to run anybody off. I'm just saying that if God's called you to another church, you shouldn't be here right now. You should be over there. You should be serving at that church. You should be giving that church 100%. But if God's called you here to this church, then you ought to be here 100%, plugged in and going for it. In this way, we can enjoy the edification of God's love as we serve one another. Now, with this challenge and focus, I want to remind you that there are all sorts of opportunities to reach in by serving one another here within our fellowship of faith. For example, we have a maintenance ministry that makes sure that everything in our facility is operating in the way that it should. Not only that, but this ministry also works on various projects around the church, which are oftentimes requested by the different ministries in our church. Then there's a cleaning crew that preps the facility prior to services. They make sure that things are clean and ready to go for our service time. And listen, if you know how to swing a hammer or push a vacuum, then you're fully equipped to join the maintenance ministry or the cleaning crew. And I would encourage you to do so if you're not serving somewhere. We also have a hospitality ministry, which focuses on providing us with snacks on Wednesdays. You can see the table back there with snacks that are ready to go. I'm sure we're all looking forward to having those snacks. But you know, there's some gals in this church that put all that together, and they do that each and every week. That's our hospitality ministry. They also take care of the preparations for our potluck events, not to mention our communion services. There's an usher's ministry and a greeter's ministry. If when you came in, someone greeted you and handed you a bulletin, or someone helped you to find a seat, the ushers and the greeters are doing that work. They make sure everyone feels welcome here and that visitors receive the directions that they might need. If you're outgoing and friendly and interested in helping others, then you might join one of these ministries if you're not serving anywhere. There's also a lot to do behind the scenes. And sometimes we forget about all the work that goes into making this church run properly, with all the behind the scenes things that have to be done. The media ministry is working on a lot of stuff, a lot of technical things behind the scenes in order to make our service run smoothly. We have a PowerPoint team which provides us with the lyrics to our worship songs and outlines for our studies. We have those who work on the lighting crew and they change the light scenes depending on whether the worship team is up here or myself. We have those who are working on the video recording, because those videos are going to be edited and then placed on television later. So there's an editing team for the television ministry, as well as recordings of the audio that are then later edited and put on the radio. There's a graphic design group, and there's a website team, and all these things. Well, it all takes people doing their share to make this church function. Maybe you're a musician who's been gifted with musical abilities. And if so, then maybe the Lord would call you to step up onto the worship team. We provide opportunities for people to plug into our sound ministry. And as they've served on the sound team for a season, then we move them up onto the stage if the Lord is leading in that direction. We have a bookstore ministry, which not only includes helping those who are looking for a good book to read, but they also help to serve our church by providing people with questions about various functions and events. And they provide that information and help people to sign up and plug in. If you have a heart to help people with guest services, then you might think about the bookstore ministry. Finally, I would remind you of the two largest ministries in our church, that being the children's ministry and the youth ministry. There are many opportunities to help provide our kids with the spiritual guidance that they need. And you might be thinking, well, I'm not ready to teach the Bible. Well, you don't have to. You can just be there to help. It's as simple as that. Having a heart for youth or a heart for kids and a desire to just be there to help the teacher with all the other things that need to happen. If you have a heart for helping kids to know Jesus, then you ought to pray about serving in our children's ministry or our youth ministry. Without debate, there are many, many opportunities to fulfill our mission, to reach in here at our church. And while it's my vision for every Christian here at Calvary South Austin to serve in some capacity, I would challenge every believer who isn't serving by asking you this: why not? If you aren't serving, why not? Have you allowed the distractions of this world to keep you from fulfilling the vision of this church? Have you allowed the distractions of this world to keep you from accomplishing the Lord's calling on your life? If so, then much like that driver who just needs to put their phone down so that they can focus on the road before them, maybe we need to put some things down in our life that would keep us from serving the Lord and from serving his people according to the vision of this church. In order to remedy this situation, I want to encourage you to take a simple step with me tonight. This is a very simple step to take. You would look there at the back of the chair that's in front of you. There in the back of that chair, there's something called a connection card. Take that connection card out. I want to encourage every Christian who isn't serving already to fill out this card. I want you to fill out this card and highlight those ministries that you might be interested in serving in. This isn't a commitment to serve. This is just you getting a little more information about the ministries that you might like to serve in. You'll receive more information, and as you do, you can begin to pray about where you might serve here at Calvary South Austin. I would encourage you to make a prayerful decision to reach in by serving one another so that every part is doing its share here at Calvary South Austin. And listen, not only has the Lord called us to reach up through prayer and praise and Bible study, and not only has the Lord called us to reach in by encouraging one another and by serving one another, but the Lord has also called us to reach out. That's right, the Lord has called us to reach out to the unbelievers here in the world around us. And with this as our focus, I'd like you now to turn with me to Romans chapter 10. As you make your way to Romans 10, I want to remind you that the New Testament is actually filled with instructions which would lead every believer to understand that the Lord is calling every Christian to reach out to the unbelievers around us. For example, Jesus gave us the Great Commission, which includes the command to preach the gospel to every person. Not only that, but Paul also presented us with the ministry of reconciliation. And this ministry of reconciliation leads us to plead with unbelievers so that they might be reconciled to God through the cross of Jesus Christ. Here in Romans chapter 10, we also find more instructions on the importance of reaching out to unbelievers. Because here we find Paul, he's encouraging every Christian to go out and preach the gospel. As a matter of fact, look with me there at Romans 10, beginning at verse 14. Here Paul says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Paul's saying, hey, you want the unbelievers around you to become a Christian? Preach to them. Present them with the gospel. He says in verse 15, "How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Here in this verse, we find Paul encouraging the Christians there at the church in Rome to dedicate their lives to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ so that unbelievers might become believers, so that they might hear the gospel, believe it, and be saved. And he says, how shall they preach unless they are sent? He's basically saying, hey, I'm sending you. And in the same way, I send you all the time by encouraging you to go into this world and preach the gospel to the unbelievers around us. You see, it's not only the responsibility of those first century believers there in Rome to go out and preach the gospel, but it's also the responsibility of every 21st century believer to preach the gospel and continue preaching the gospel until we find ourselves face to face with our Savior Jesus. With that being the case, the Lord has given me a vision to reach out to the lost, especially here in Austin. One way that we do this is by producing our radio and our television program. Our radio program, you know, takes all the services from Sunday and broadcasts them on the radio, and we do the same thing with the television show. And it's pretty amazing to me that I come across people all the time as I'm out on the streets, out doing my thing. You know, people are just like, "Hey, you're that preacher guy." Yeah, people are watching the show. And as they do, they're hearing the word of God. We also have an outreach that has recently got off the ground this past year. It's our daycare. We have a few kids from this church who are attending our daycare, but we also have a handful of kids from parents outside of this church. Kids who would probably never grow up hearing about Jesus Christ if they weren't here, because their parents aren't Christians. And so there's little kids here learning about Jesus Monday through Friday through our daycare ministry. We're about to crank back up our outreaches into the community. We're going to start doing these quarterly outreaches, possibly in the park. I think in March, we're going to have a park picnic outreach that we're going to encourage you to be a part of. There's going to be more missions to Mexico as we attempt to work with some orphanages down there. We attempted to get it together before Christmas this year. It just didn't work out. But hopefully by next Christmas, we'll be continuing to do some missions down to Mexico. But as simple as it gets, I've encouraged you often to reach out at work to the unbelievers around you, to those who go to school, to reach out to the students and the teachers there at your school. One of the awesome things that we have going on is an outreach at Crockett next door. Two of our youth students started a campus study, and once a month we go over there during lunch and present evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have to be looking for opportunities just like that to bring the gospel message to anyone who would listen. From this we see that the Lord has called us to reach up through prayer, praise, and Bible study. He's called us to reach in by encouraging one another here at church, by serving one another here at church. And the Lord has called us to reach out and to preach the gospel to the unbelievers who are all around us. And as we consider the three parts of our church's mission, I want to close by asking you, are you focused on accomplishing this mission according to the vision that God has given me? Are you dedicated to accomplishing this mission according to the vision? Or are you allowing yourselves to be distracted like a driver who's attempting to text their friend when they should be focusing on the road before them? Christian, listen, the Lord is the one who led us to this flock of believers. I believe that the Lord has brought us together so that we can worship Him together, so that we can seek Him together, so that we can accomplish His will together. And now that we're here, well, let's go for it. Now that we're here, let's accomplish His vision together, by becoming those dedicated disciples who are reaching up and reaching in and reaching out by the power of the Holy Spirit and all for His glory. Let's pray.